Hello, everyone.
Morning.
Hello.
Nice to see you all. We'll give it one more minute. Cornelia's on vacation this week, so it's just me. All right, I guess we will get started. Confluence is behaving oddly with typing attendees, so I don't know what's happening, but it's not actually adding attendees in the same way that it normally does. So I will figure that out later. And
Some
Cornelia.
services, I think, are still coming back online from the AWS outage
Oh,
that
that's
happened
good.
overnight.
Right, good reminder. I didn't even think of that. I just assumed it was user error. I appreciate that, David. Or I'm just going crazy. All right. So I want to check in a little bit about the next meeting. Tom, are you still on for Thursday starting the fee fine subgroup up? 23rd, I think it is.
Sure, why not? If anything, we can just sit there and complain about fee fines.
Well, it would be great if you had an agenda.
I think I kind of do. Honestly, I think the first thing, because it might actually get some traction, is I think the first thing we can do is look at the current settings pages and how to
Okay.
streamline them to make them easier for people to use.
Okay. Sounds good. So I will. Let's see. Is it on? Do we have the regular? Do you want to just use the regular SIG Zoom link, and we'll just put that way people have it on their calendars already.
Sure, that works for
Okay.
me.
All right. Then I will send something out on Slack after this meeting, and then we will just go from there. All right. And anyone is welcome to join that conversation. And I can also add the link to the fee fine session that was at WolfCon. So if folks want to, if they haven't attend, didn't attend, or were not able to watch the recording, then at least we'll all be starting from that ground zero, the same starting point. Because Tom's session last at WolfCon really covered a lot of his thinking around the direction of that fee fines could go. All right. Any other announcements or anything? I almost said appreciations. In all of our meetings in Amherst, we start with announcements and appreciation. So I was just going to, any appreciation?
I
I
appreciate
appreciate
you
that it's not.
all. Oh.
Go
Sorry,
ahead,
go ahead,
Lisa.
Lauren.
Sorry, I just had a minor feature request one of my coworkers brought up. If we have time for it today, I could mention at the end of the meeting.
All right, you got it. Anything else? Okay. Well, let's get started with this wildcard lookup extension. I'm not sure if folks were able to get back to the Slack channel, and it doesn't look like, or the Slack message that was that Cornelia linked in the agenda. It does not look like Renata was able to join us today. So this came up at the end of September. Renata Dyer, who is at somewhere in Australia, looks like. Does anyone know? NLA.gov.australia. I don't know what that is. Anyway, she
Australia.
posted, where is that?
It's the National Library of Australia, I
Oh,
believe.
right. Thank you. So they posted, she posted and tagged a bunch of POs about a problem they were having. It looked like with their barcode scanner, like their barcode, they had pre-printed barcodes. They had procedures for scanning items, and they were getting incomplete output. So they were having truncated barcodes put into their item records, which right there sounds like it is kind of the issue that needs to be resolved. However, it raised some other questions about functionality and whether or not this other functionality should be created. So one thing they were looking for, which I actually think is not really an RA SIG issue, but the first thing they were asking about is when you're creating an item and adding a barcode, is there any sort of verification or validation on that number? And so it seems like that would have to be customized since all kinds of validation schemes could be recognized. So there's that as a potential one step. Yeah, Scott.
I may step ahead a little bit on this. Since we worked with two consortial sharing systems, we've had to work with a lot of different barcode formats. There was under Sierra a validation scheme that was turned off in Sierra, and I believe we're using it now in Folio. I could be wrong. There is an internal validation within each barcode. Usually the check digit at the end validates it. But some of the problems are sounding like is if they get incomplete output, it may be reading the wrong barcode scheme. And in that case, usually you can set the scanner to read any barcode format and basically puts out the numbers as opposed to only reading one format. The reason why you want to choose one format is if you're doing something in industry, you only want to scan your barcodes, not accidentally scan someone else's barcodes. If there's a problem with the front part of the barcode, like a preamble, a prefix, and it may be a case where it's on the barcode in the book, but it's not actually in the record. That could be fixed in this limited circumstance by putting a preamble on the barcode scanner. If it's like NLA and then the number, and that's on the barcode on the book, every time you scan it, that shows it, but it's not in the record itself. You can have the barcode automatically insert that. So there's one thing to think about. My concern is if you say, well, at either the front or the back in the barcode, let's ignore some things. How much you would consider valid? And at a point, if you make it too short, you'll have numbers that match within a barcode they're never meant to match. You have duplicate barcodes being scanned, those kind of problems coming up.
Yeah, David.
Yeah, similarly, like at Chicago, because of the way that our previous systems handled analytic records, we have thousands of barcodes that start with capital A, then the real barcode. So if you change the wildcard to start, like, you would have to have some very strict and customizable validation rules, because if you just started saying capture whatever barcode matches has part of this barcode in it, like that would screw us up pretty badly. And yeah, we have multiple types of barcodes because we inherited barcodes from another system. But we have a lot of alphanumeric barcodes where it's the real barcode, except that there's something at the beginning and or end, but those are intellectual items, because right, no other system had the model, and we still apparently, I don't know enough, I'm not a metadata management person, but like we still don't like the analytic and bound-width model of Folio enough to actually start adopting it, apparently. So we're perpetuating it anyway.
Good to know. Okay, so maybe there's some validation options at the creation, at the point of creation. My sense was, to your point, Scott, they were not dropping. It was at the point that they were creating the item and putting the barcode into Folio that it didn't scan right. So there's obviously some training component to that. Like, maybe it's a, maybe their barcode readers are not great. Like, that's something that should be, there's some things that should be fixed locally. I don't think it's a terrible ask for validation. Does anyone know, is there any validation of any sort within Folio on the barcode field right now?
I think the only thing that checks for is to ensure that there is a barcode and that it is not a duplicate barcode. And the
Okay.
duplicate barcode, I'm not 1,000% sure. 99% sure that checks for that.
No, I think it does check for duplicate. That's the only one I'm sure of. And doesn't it generate a barcode if you don't create one?
That's
I
it.
think it does.
If you're using a number generator, I believe that did get expanded to add barcodes, and that does have a specific pattern that it uses. And
Yeah.
then it will just kind of iterate up by one. So that actually could be a solution for them too. Like if
Well,
instead of
but it
scanning
sounds like
the
they have physical barcodes, like that they want,
barcode.
that they're trying to use, which makes sense.
I don't want to bring up the dead, but Duke was having a similar issue with their barcodes a while back. In fact, it was causing some wonkiness because they actually, instead of having bad barcode scanners, if I remember correctly from what Aaron was telling me, they actually had bad printed barcodes where somebody accidentally injected spaces into, I think it was either the beginning or the end of the barcode, but they also had duplicate barcodes in the system. So if you stripped out that white space, it duplicated another barcode in the system. So they had to have the white space in order to properly use it.
Wow,
Yeah,
that's something.
it definitely
Yikes.
was. Yeah.
Okay. So some of these seem like real edge cases, right? Where you don't want to solve the fix for the whole system because of an isolated issue, is kind of what I'm thinking. That doesn't mean we don't necessarily want to have validation, but that also seems like a more of a metadata management question of validating barcodes at the creation point. So I think my question here is that sort of the question that comes up against resource access is really around this request for truncation on the lookup at the lookup point, which like expanding the truncation to the front end of a barcode at the point of check-in or check-out. Which, when I first read that, I mean, even the setting as it exists now to me seems incredibly dangerous. I don't know. We don't use it here. The ability right now, the setting allows. In circulation settings, other settings, there is a checkbox to perform wildcard lookup of items by barcode in circulation apps. So check in and check out. There is the ability to do a truncation, a wildcard at the end of a barcode. I'm curious if anyone is currently using that and how it functions currently. If anyone is.
Go ahead, Amelia.
So we're not using it, actively, I don't think. But there is, in terms of how it works, if it matches on multiple users, it'll pop up with a modal where you can select which of the matched users is the correct one. And then it goes to the regular checkout once you've selected.
Interesting. So that actually makes sense if you're doing it on you. Well, but with users, I think that's just a straight up, I think that's a different thing because this setting is for items specifically. I think, Amelia, the way that does is it's just doing a character string lookup in the users. So you're just
Oh,
getting all
okay.
matches. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I had that mixed
Yeah.
up.
No, Tom.
Yeah, the one in check-in and check-out is similar. It's just doing a, I mean, check-out is just looking at the barcode field within the database, which is an indexed field. And it's just truncating the end of it. If I remember correctly, the original ticket was actually written by Brooks Travis for the InReach project, because they had a situation where the original barcode was being used, but then it was being, if I believe, amended with like dash IN or something of that nature. So they wanted to be able to use the barcode that was on the book and then see all the different items. And my understanding of it too is, and I think I remember this also from testing, is that when you have that turned on, it's the same thing as a patron. You do a search, it truncates it out, and then says these items were found with quote unquote matching barcodes, and you select only one. You can also easily break it. So for instance, like I was saying, all of Cornell's barcodes start with 31924. If I type in 31924, it tries to bring up every single item in the database. It crashes the UI. It's only meant to return one or two things. And that's kind of my worry about, like, if you truncate it on the beginning and the end, if you put a small enough string in there, it's going to bring up a massive amount of results and could potentially cause issues elsewhere. But that's just
And
me.
that's actually a fairly common barcode scanner misread, is to read just a couple of digits. So yeah, this seems both not really a true solution to their real it, this seems like a workaround rather than a solution to their actual problem, and it seems like it causes more problems than it would solve.
Thanks for the link to the documentation, Anne. That helps. I think I appreciate that there's that it's not just, I mean, it seems so risky to be like with check-in and check-out, you want to know you got the right thing, right? You're not just, it's an action, you're not just looking up. Like wildcards in a lookup are very different than wildcards in an action. So I appreciate that there's supposed to be an intermediary step, which makes sense. I just have never used it. Is there anyone who's interested in speaking to a reason why a pre whatever, I don't even know what to call it, a wild card at the beginning of the string would be desired? All right, just catching up on the chat.
The only thing I could use as a possible scenario, and it's not check in, check out, because I would see all these as staff tasks. Like if something doesn't scan at the desk, it usually goes to a staff member, and they're the ones that have to track it down. I could see, I'm going to bring up the search, being able to search an inventory and add a wild card search to the beginning or the end of a barcode and searching there. Because if you have a book that the outside cover is damaged and you have a partial barcode, it might give you a way of looking it up. But again, that's like very, very fringe case to me.
Gotcha. I think so as well. Yeah, that would be helpful to, thanks, Anne. I think the that giving some feedback to Renata would be helpful at this point on the that front. I'm trying to remember if there was another piece of what they were trying to do. They were looking for a pop-up at the I guess the pop-up was just at the creation point, and then the wild card lookup was the other piece. I think that was all there was. Yeah, so I think, does anyone know if there is a, oh, Olga, go ahead. Sorry, it's your hand.
No worries. Another example similar to what Thomas was saying, not in checkout and check-in app, but one staff person asked me, she was looking for a person, so for a user record, and she remembered the name, but the last name, but she wasn't sure about the first letter of the last name. And she was saying, is it possible for me to just put all the other letters from the name and but not the first one? And I said, no, it's not possible. But again, not at checkout and check-in, but in the user's app.
Amelia, can you confirm the behavior of the lookup? We
Yeah,
tried. I
I
don't think
don't
it's
think you
possible.
can. Yeah.
You can't. I just tried it.
Okay.
No.
That's
But again, it
it
happened.
does automatically wild card at the end.
Yeah.
And it happened only one time. I mean, at least only one person asked me in 2 years. So it's not a big deal.
All right. Anything else about that? So I'm going to put out there that we es essentially don't recommend implementing a free wildcard to in the check-in, check-out apps. This also came up, I forgot to say, in the at WolfCon, there was a discussion about how the different search interfaces in the different apps behave differently, have different wildcards, truncations, etc. So that it sort of came up in this context as well. Tom?
I can't find my buttons. so I was kind of wondering, like, so the like I agree. I don't think they should be added to check in, check out. I think in the users app, possibly in metadata management, in PC, metadata management did their presentation of their top five, and one of them was actually changing the UI around and going towards more of a tree interface and that sort of thing. And they were asking about if they were reaching out to other SIGs and. They said later on, but I wonder, sorry for my rambling. I wonder if it'd be worthwhile for us to look at the inventory app and the user's app interface and just kind of highlight some difficulties that people in resource access are having with searching our display and make note of them so that we could try to surface those. I mean, granted, they're not really our apps, but if we could surface and say, you know, this is kind of a pain point for RA, is it something that you might consider looking at? And this is what our thoughts are.
Katie?
Yeah, I'm a member of the metadata management SIG, and I know that when we discussed, because we're, like you said, Tom, they're discussing kind of reconfiguring the searching and inventory, because a lot of people don't like when you search for an item, you get the instance record. You know, if you're looking for a certain location, you get the instance record with all the items linked to that instance record and stuff. And they're really interested in how other SIGs use the inventory app, so I think they would really appreciate that feedback.
Great. All right. So we will, we can also put that out and put it as an agenda item at a future meeting. I can reach out to the conveners on that and see how they would best like to coordinate that feedback. Either have them come to our meeting, to a future meeting, and or something like that. All right, anything else about the prefix wildcard on item barcodes? Okay, Lawrence, take it away.
Oh yes, so one of my coworkers, I can post the comment in chat if you like.
Sure.
They were wondering what to do with the possibility of having a shift click functionality to select things in the in check in and check out. Apparently, you had to update the due date for about 200 out of some 331 loans for a user, and said it would be a lot easier if you could like shift click to select a whole bunch of things all at once rather than have to do each one individually. So I said I would bring it up at an RA SIG meeting, and of course it'd probably be useful in other areas as well. I didn't know if there was any how much trouble that would be to do, but
David?
yeah, I think it. I agree. It would be a good idea. I don't know how critically important it would be for Chicago, but part of this too is the fact that that one errant click does deselect everything, which feels like a separate issue from this. Like it would be nice to be able to shift click, but it also would be nice if you didn't accidentally click outside of the selection box and have that unselect every single thing that you've done. So like that, it feels like there's sort of two separate problems. Like the shift click wouldn't be as neat, it wouldn't be as painful if it weren't so touch if the process as it is wasn't so touchy. But I like both.
We could have
Other,
a UI session.
I mean,
But these
that does seem like it's a piece of the underlying UI, right?
it's a component that's used throughout Folio, which mean which is a negative and a plus. It means that it has to be picked up by like Stripe's force. It's not handled by users or anything of that nature. But the plus side of it is if the component's updated at that level, it'd trickle through all of Folio. So you would basically fix it in one place. But yeah.
Yeah, I think if we were to ask for it, I think it would make sense to ask for shift click and control click. Those are the two, those are, to me, that's the common language of selection, right? If you hit control and click, then you can do multiple random ones not together. Shift click does everything in between. That's just sort of how that seems to be the common language, so you would want both.
Although control click is sort of how it's behaving now, right? Like it behaves sort of without control. When you click, it clicks, it's going to select different things, right?
That is, yeah, that
Its
is true. I
current
think the problem
function.
is if you literally are one pixel off, it will deselect everything. That
That
is
is
a
the
different
most annoying.
problem. Yeah, it is super annoying.
Yes.
So yeah, that's true. We wouldn't really need control click because it's already a selection. It's assuming that you are selecting multiple things. That's fair.
And you already have the select all function.
Option, yeah.
So sometimes if you could just select all, do you, right? There is a
You
check
do.
at the top, right? So if you could select all and then deselect, which sometimes we do because there are more, if you have more to select than you than not, then you start with select all. But if we just had auto renew, we wouldn't have to do it anyway. Just saying.
But even in fine fees and all the other places, that first cell in the in my opinion, that first cell in that table, if you click anywhere in it, it should not take you to the details of that row. It should select that row. So that entire cell should be almost like the select checkbox because David's right. Like you select one pixel outside of it and it either unselects everything or it jumps you into the details. And when you go back, everything is unselected. And yeah, I just want a bigger area. I'm a fast clicker.
We need something for less precision because we're like spazzing out. All right. And does anyone know if there's any ticket related to this currently? Lawrence, have you looked at all to see if there is one?
I looked, I didn't see anything.
Okay. All right. So it seems like we need a new ticket created. Would you be willing to write something up, Lawrence?
I could write a ticket. I don't know
Yeah,
if I
just like
have
a.
permission to do a UX pod. I know I can do some of like UI GUIs, but seem like you require different permissions for different types of GUIs.
Yeah,
But
I think you could ask Peter if you don't.
I think
Because
UX problem is, I'm sorry.
I thought that was the most generic one, but I might be wrong.
It is. It's a good place to drop it. I was gonna say if you drop in UX prod, it would just be a feature request, and then it would probably go to Kalia and Stripes Force as one of the features that they would probably pick up and look at, and then they would actually just spin off sub tickets off of it. So UX prod is actually a really good starting place for it.
And I think I would suggest including both of those things, Lawrence, both the don't deselect everything when I click somewhere else and shift click as a as an add-on. 'Cause even if they just did the first one, it feels like it's worth that alone would make things a huge amount easier. And it may be an easier lift.
Okay, yes, I can try and write something up.
Thank you. Right. Yeah, they might split it into two separate things later. That's true. All right. Any other thoughts about that? Any other agenda items to raise?
Hi, I have a quick question.
Yeah.
I realize that I haven't been attending the review meetings related to the Valeris tickets. Oh my gosh, David, did you have your hand up before I started talking?
Nope, not at all.
Okay, awesome. I realize that I haven't been attending the review sessions related to Valeris tickets, and so I'm not clear on, and I also realize I've sent a filter related to Vega tickets, not a rush at all. I'm unclear as to when you think you might want to begin to review Vega tickets. Again, no rush, but I do have a reason for asking.
Sure. Oh gosh, remind me, did you send that to me a while
I think
back? It was a while
well,
ago, right?
no, actually, it's fairly recently if I sent it, and actually, I'll send the filter via chat here. And the reason I wanted to chat about it is the following. This particular filter I created for a group a while back, and I just don't think that they had a chance to review the tickets. And I actually, let me go back one because now, hang on just a second. I actually think that filter is like sub-filtered. So hang on
Yeah,
just a
that one I
second.
can't get to
Yeah.
actually.
Oh, you can't get to it. Hang on just a second. Let's make sure you can get to this one and I'll delete this other. I may need to expand permissions out. So this second one that I sent, can y'all see that?
I only see one in the chat. Did you put another one in there?
Yes, and it's Vega issues for review RLIF filter. Okay, I'm getting a thumbs up. Tom can see it.
I'm getting a weird, we couldn't find this filter thing.
Yeah,
Okay, well,
I'm an oddball, so.
maybe I need to do a little bit of a better job to get the view working. I'm curious if others on the call can see it.
Tom has special permissions,
Yeah, I guess he.
so.
Okay. Well, I mean, maybe this is just good that I'm bringing it up. So this filter, actually, maybe I can just briefly share my screen. This will only take a few, but like a
Yeah,
couple
sure.
minutes, y'all.
Of course.
I will work on making sure that the permissions are accurate for this. Can y'all actually see the filter itself in Jira?
On your screen, yeah.
Yes, on my screen. Okay, so one of the reasons why, okay, thank you, Robert. And I will make sure that y'all can get to this. And again, no rush, but one of the reasons I wanted to bring it up today is when I initially created the filter, it has features, tasks, bugs, etc. And the more I think about it, the more I want to do a little bit of limiting for this filter because if it includes features, then it's probably all it also includes the stories under the features. And I would hate for the team to be reviewing features and then start reviewing one-off stories that would have been included in the features. And also because y'all have been doing some work relate, y'all have previously done some work related to reviewing Vega features. I want to make it not a repetitive task. So what I'm probably going to do is eliminate a few of these Jira concepts and have this filter focus on tasks, which are sometimes one-off concepts that aren't necessarily tied to a large feature. And I think that would be a more helpful route for this filter. And I'm wondering what y'all think about that concept of when I do bring this shared filter back to the team, it is a concept of tasks created more than 21 weeks ago that are assigned to Vega. Does that sound reasonable?
Sort of. So let me tell you what
Okay.
we've already done, Anne. So we've already, that initial list, which was
Yes.
all the UX prods, like a lot of those, most of those probably should have a label that says
Yes.
something like RA further refinement, RA, you know, whatever.
Yes. And Tom and I have actually gone through those, and the ones that were recommended by the team to close, we've closed. And the ones that were recommended for further refinement, et cetera, we have noted that. And we actually added to the Excel spreadsheet the comments related to the actions that we've taken.
Okay, perfect. So the question then, and not most of these were not on there because again, we were looking at only UX prods, although a couple of these snuck in there somehow. We ended up with like three Circ stores somehow in that list, I remember. I guess the question is if these are underneath a UX prod, we may have already reviewed it. So, what are you looking for us to do with these that are tasks versus
So
the UX prod?
I agree with you that if they were under a UX prod, you would have already reviewed them. Typically, when I think of tasks, and Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, but when we're working with tasks, they're more of like a not as broad of a particular need and more of a specific need to do this or need to really improve this. And so they likely are not necessary. They're out of all of the different types of Jira I guess, categories, they're less apt to be associated with features themselves. And I guess when I review this list even further, I can do a little bit of proving that prior to sending y'all the filter. So what I would be aiming for was y'all not repeating what you've already done related to the features that have been open that you've already reviewed, but also getting at the heart of some of the backlog that hasn't been reviewed in a while that are one-off, might improve in a certain area. And I'm wondering if that would be a direction you'd want to take. So, so that you wouldn't be duplicating work, but you would also, we, whoever on the RA SIG who's reviewing these would actually be helpful, in taking a look at some of these.
All right, so you would want to, a lot of these, I mean, the ones on the screen anyway, look like they're open,
Yes.
as opposed to, so it's a question of do, I guess, what would you want us to, if they're already open, then they're pretty much ready for development. Would you be looking for us to say we actually should close these because they're not
Yes.
needed anymore? Okay, so
Yes.
the basically the same process, but
Yes.
at a different level of granularity.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And as I look at some of these, they're highly technical, and so maybe we could go a step further and just have the UI tasks there, which is actually something that recently our front-end developer has been interested in, reviewing older tickets that are related to the UI. That way it would there wouldn't be as much confusion about back-end related tasks, and it would be a set of smaller goals that that Vega had originally created, but they just haven't been touched in a long time.
Yeah. I think that would be useful because it looks
Okay.
like these stripes ones, I'm not sure we're going to
Yeah.
be able to do anything. Like
No.
we're like just not going to know even what those
Yes.
are. But yeah, the
Okay.
UI ones are probably good.
Okay.
And I'm
I
not
have
even sure front end, like, I mean, there are some other, are there other, I don't even know what all the prefixes are.
Right. So I think what I can do is make it as clear as possible in the filter. And I'm thinking it would be UI tasks created for Vega more than 21 weeks ago, not closed,
Okay.
would be a good place to start.
Okay.
Any Does that sound good?
That sounds okay to me. I think we are just finishing the Valeris list,
Yeah.
so the timing is good.
Oh, that's great. And again, this is not because the point where you are with the Blaris work is one of the reasons why I just wanted to bring this up today. I didn't want y'all to turn then to this ARLIF filter and think, oh my gosh, this is so much duplication. I'm not really sure about it. And to be perfectly honest, the more I thought about it, I was thinking, why would we want to have both the features and the stories and the tasks and everything like that? So I think we can get it to be manageable for this group to manageable for our team here to review and also as helpful as possible to our front-end developer. Okay, great.
That sounds good.
Are we thinking within the next 2 weeks or just 3 weeks?
Yeah, so we are probably a week from Thursday.
A
We
week.
could
Okay,
use
that
it.
sounds
We could
great.
start looking at it because, like I said,
Yeah.
we're at the dregs of the Valeris list, which is mostly remote storage stuff, which we don't have a lot of stuff to say about at this point. And there are also really newer tickets that are just getting opened as
Okay.
well.
Yeah, thank you so much for the time on this. I realized that I didn't have it as an agenda item, but it has been on my mind.
No, your timing is actually perfect. Thank you for
Okay.
raising it.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Sure. All right, David.
I just had a quick thing, and we don't have to discuss it today, but I would like at some point to get a little bit of an update because I on the in-house circulation stuff. I saw the update to the ticket. It feels like I've lost the thread on that a little bit because it doesn't seem like it is involving. This is for National Library of Sweden and others, where it would be a persistent, like it would check it out, but for in building use only. It doesn't seem like it
Oh,
doesn't use
yes.
requests anymore, and I'm Just want to make sure I understand it because I don't know how it can be using hold shelf expiration date and not be using a request.
Okay,
Correct.
I think this is the same thing that I just got a Slack message about today, David. I think, remember, is it called the for use at location feature?
Right.
Yeah,
Correct.
the one that Charlotte talked to us about several weeks ago, and she was like, I'm gonna want to talk to you about that in November. Yeah, so I just got a message about that, and we're gonna talk about it on November 10th.
Perfect.
Yes. When you say in-house circ, I'm like, no, in-house. I was completely thinking in-house use, like not in-house use. Right. Yes, it has a name now that I confuses me every time, but for use at location, for lack of a better thing.
Yeah, and it seems like they're trying to solve this solely through loans rather than through requests, and I just don't know. I have questions, and I'm sure
Yes.
that they have thought about them, which is why I would love to talk.
And they want to schedule a demo of it. I mean, like it's actually being built. So
Right.
they
And like, I don't
actually are
know.
ready with a demo of it for the
Well,
10th.
that would be great, 'cause yeah, I don't.
Know
They're
how
talking
it's being.
about update. Yeah, they're talking about updating things that only exist in requests, fields that only exist in requests, but not touching requests. So,
You are correct. Like they took a different direction when they started coding it. Instead of using the request policy to indicate whether something or not was going to be basically persistent, they changed the loan policy that at the loan policy level, you indicate that basically the loan isn't closed. And I think, if I remember correctly, they are actually keeping the loan open for the entire time it's sitting on the shelf. So the initial checkout, it checks out the item. And then it sits on the shelf, and that I believe becomes the new shelf expiration date is when the loan finishes. So they took a interesting
Right,
direction.
but we just need, and we need to understand, like, how would you know what's on that shelf then? Like, I see how you can
Exactly.
see what the state of the loan is from their write-up, but I don't see how you would know these are the things that now should be pulled from the shelf, or these are the things associated with this. Yeah.
Yeah, I honestly have a few of the same questions, and I'm hoping that it will remain usable as we originally hoped for everybody else,
Yeah, it
in the
really
same
doesn't seem
configuration.
like it will. It seems like potentially they've gone down a road, a different road that's only going to work for them.
That is kind of
And
my
that's my
worry as
concern.
well.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Well, this will
I
be an
agree.
opportunity for feedback.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Other thoughts about that? That is on the docket for the 10th. I should also say that the agenda you may have seen or heard us talk about for November 3rd is that we will have Cornelia and I need to get together to plan this, but we planned that day to have a welcome session, which is sort of like one of our onboarding sessions that we that used to Jana and Cornelia used to do. But I think we decided we wanted to frame it a little bit differently and maybe do some more outreach about it. So we need to get that out shortly. But if you have folks who are interested to in learning about what we do and get acquainted with the SIG, that's going to be an opportunity to do that on November 3rd. All right. Other thoughts? I do not know at the moment whether we have an agenda for the 27th. So I will get back to you about that. But if anyone has additional, if anyone has additional agenda items for that meeting, let me know. I don't think we have anything on the docket right now. All right. Anything else? Okay, well, we hope to see some Fee Fine people on Thursday, and our next ticket review will be the following Thursday on the 30th. Until then, I hope you all have a great day. Thanks, everyone.
Have a good day.
Have a good day.
Thanks, y'all. Bye.